David Kaplan.
Jonathan Hood.
This is Cap and Jay Hood. Follow on Twitter at Cap Jay Hood.
On ESPN 1000.
And the ESPN Chicago app.
That's why I see him in the shot.
Shot. No shot. With Cap and Jay Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
That's why I see him in the shot.
Good morning and welcome into the Cap and Jay Hood morning show here on ESPN 1000 and streaming on the ESPN Chicago app. With David Kaplan, Jonathan Hood with you. We do shot or no shot every day at 8 o'clock and is brought to you by
PointsBet Sportsbook. Download the PointsBet app. Get the lightning bets, the live in-game, same-game parlays. And then if you want to play the ponies, the Club Hawthorne mobile wagering app. I love that sound effect.
What sound effect?
That's my ringtone.
That's a horse coming through the studio.
Yeah, that should be my ringtone.
There he goes.
That's snorling when he walks in.
That's pretty true.
Pretty much.
That's pretty true.
We say good morning to Jake Cantu.
I thought you were going to mess that up.
No shot.
Now, we know who you are, the guy that's a welcher and will not pay his dollar to BerniesBookBank.org.
Correct. Some kid's not going to get a book because of you.
It's coming. Hey, it's coming. All right, good morning, gentlemen. How are you guys doing?
We're fine until we're pay your fine, right, by the way. Right. What's wrong with that?
It's coming.
Yep.
Yeah, that's what
I need. I needed like a QR code or something to scan.
Deadbeat.
You say it's coming. And we're still waiting.
All righty. Let's. I know we're talking White Sox, but let's shift a little bit to the Bears. Eddie Jackson, guys, recorded his third interception this season, his most since 2018. And he's gotten three interceptions in four games this season. Shot or no shot, Jackson is back to his old self and will be an all-pro again this year.
You know, that's a shot. But what does that mean now, Cap? What does that mean with no Pro Bowl?
No, not a Pro Bowler, an All-Pro. That's even more impressive. I think they only pick, what, two teams, first and second team All-Pro?
Yeah.
And he was All-Pro in 2018 as well.
I don't believe, because the Bears' record is so pathetic, or will be, when the season ends, I don't believe he'll be an All-Pro, even though he might be deserving of said honor. That usually goes to teams with better records. I do think he'll be acknowledged as having gotten back to his form.
So he will be mentioned, but not an All-Pro. I would be hard-pressed to find. I guess I have to do the research on someone as an All-Pro that did not make the Pro Bowl.
I don't think that's ever happened.
If you're an All-Pro, more than likely you get that honor, right?
Correct.
Yeah, just and I wonder what that looks like, by the way, with no more actual Pro Bowl game.
Correct. Thank goodness. It's the worst.
They have activities, right? That's what's going to happen.
Yes.
I'll say shot. Think about if he has the one interception a game. My God, Cap, now he's a ball hawk again. That'd be something, wouldn't it?
Yeah, he's not. If he gets 17 interceptions, yeah, he's going to be an All-Pro.
Yeah.
That's not going to happen.
How about 13? What if I said it at 10? You'd still take the under?
Yes.
I mean, if nothing else, we know that works. There's very few things that you look at the Bears team and you say, I know this works.
Mm-hmm.
Eddie Jackson's back, man. Take solace in that. You may not like the team, but you got to like Eddie Jackson being opportunistic.
I love it. He's a beast. He's playing much better football.
You know what, Jay Cantu? I'll say shot. I'm optimistic about him. Not much, but I'll take him. Jay Cantu.
All right, he's sticking with the Bears. According to PFF, Bears are the worst team in NFL in both QB pressures and wide receiver separation rate.
QB pressures allowing it for our quarterback or getting to the other?
Yes.
Allowing our quarterback. But let's focus on the separation rate there, because I want to ask you guys a question. Mm. There's a potential wide receiver one out in Carolina that is in the doghouse with Baker Mayfield and Matt Rhule. He has produced and helped QBs like Sam Darnold, PJ Walker, Kyle Allen. Shot or no shot, DJ Moore would spark this Bears offense if Ryan Poles traded for him now.
DJ Moore with the Bears.
DJ Moore.
You know what? That's a no shot, because, and I'll say this on their behalf. Jake, they just want to be able to just go with the team they have now. They're not trying to add more wins. We've asked this question often on Cap and Jay Hood on what's more important, the development of Justin Fields or wins. Now, to Justin, it's about wins more than numbers. But, JR, I would say no shot. they will go with what they have. They can add on scrap heap guys, but I think that they just want to stick with what they have and then really develop in year two and year three.
I think everybody is very wary of giving up any draft capital. So what are you going to give up to get DJ Moore, I think, is the first question.
Okay, then- so DJ Moore is 25 years of age. DJ Moore, in his career, came in 18.
First-round draft pick.
Yep. DJ Moore has played 16 games, 15 games, 15 games, 17 games. So he stays healthy.
Okay.
Last year, 93 catches, 1,157 yards, 4 touchdowns. I mean, he's not going to come cheap. That's, I just don't see Ryan Poles giving up a really high draft pick to go get a receiver that he then has to pay. I don't see him doing that.
I just think that they are going to see what the core they have and then see what happens.
And why is he on the outs there? If he's so freaking good on that dead-ass Carolina team, why does Carolina, why would they be so quick to get rid of him? For Baker Mayfield and Sam Darnold? Blech.
What do you think of that, Jake?
Take that, Jake.
He's in the doghouse.
For what?
Just, they said it. It was like before the game on Friday, there was a quote coming out. Don't quote me on this, but DJ Moore was asked because Matt Rhule said that the wide receivers need to get more separation and help Baker Mayfield out. And a lot of the fingers were being pointed to Baker Mayfield and not being accurate. And having that accurate throw inside the NFL open window.
Well, I would say it's a no shot based on what the Bears want to do.
Yeah, I don't see it.
And he would come here where he would have the exact same issue, where the wide receivers need to get separation.
Jake.
All right, let's shift to the White Sox with Tony La Russa officially announcing that he will not return as the White Sox manager next year due to health reasons. And with tons of offseason questions now looming, shot or no shot, TLR wasted the White Sox championship window.
That's a no shot because the window's still open. You know, when I look at this roster cap, unless you're making wholesale changes and going the other way, the window's still open.
The window's wide open. You got all these guys locked up other than Giolito and Cease, all your other guys, Robert and Jimenez, all on, under contract or control. Vaughn, T.A., yeah, no, he didn't waste their window.
No, because the reason why, Jake, is because the window's still open. It's up to the White Sox to go through it.
And this is not all on Tony. Tony was maybe I missed it. I think I saw every game. Tony have any at-bats this year?
No, but that's don't do that. Don't do that.
He had his share of culpability, and he talked about that.
Just like the players, just like the general manager, correct, just like Kenny, just like the owner.
They're all part of it.
Yes, that's absolutely right.
But to say he wasted their opportunity, no. No shot.
No, I would say no shot. Definitely part of it, though.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, by the way, you can pinch run Liam Hendricks. You don't have to have him out there in the 10th.
The hell?
Right. I mean, he came into the game not knowing some of the newfangled rules of baseball.
You got the sound over there. Two strikes, Tony!
Yes, that's also a problem. Major problem.
Two strikes, Tony!
There you go. Jake.
All righty. So,
are we bothering you?
No.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds like we're interrupting your time. Are you okay?
Yeah, I'm great.
All right, we move on to the next one.
Let's go.
I mean, I guess. I mean, JR, are we interrupting Jake Cantu?
I mean, it is awfully early for Jake. You got to give him a little slack.
I'm sorry we're not Black and Abdallah, but I mean, we would like for you to keep it moving here. Right. Like, I guess there's another one. Yeah.
All right, put the game at my on notes. Hold.
Do we need Snorling?
Just looking at my notes.
We need Snorling to come in here and hate everything? Maybe we Snorling, come on in here. I hate the White Sox, and I'll tell you why. This team is terrible. This world is the worst. I mean, do we need that? My God. Come on, Jake.
Looking through my notes, let's go to this question. White Sox and Cubs miss the playoffs. Bears don't look like they'll reach 6.5 wins. Blackhawks are rebuilding, and the Bulls have Lonzo and street clothes.
Yep.
Shot or no shot, we have entered the beginning of the worst losing drought era in the history of Chicago sports.
It's a good question.
Sky just won the title last year.
They did. White Sox were in the playoffs last year.
Well, Jake, say it. Say it, Jake. He's leaving. Well, that's fine. Well, that's the end of Jake Cantu. The Sky did just win the championship.
Correct.
We just got through Blackhawks with their three Stanley Cups not too long ago. A little bit of a drought, obviously.
2015.
It's a rebuild. I get it.
7 years ago.
Oh, I mean, championships still matter.
Cubs won a World Series.
Yep.
6 years ago.
Okay. Hey, every city doesn't like hoist a trophy every year in their sport, right?
Correct. I would say that's no shot because I remember when Little John was a child, the 70s, Sox were bad,
mm-hmm.
Cubs were bad,
Bears.
Blackhawks most of the time were bad, Bears were horrifically bad, and the Bulls were meh.
In the 80s, you got your division championships in 83, 84, 89.
Correct. And the Bears won the Super Bowl in 85.
And Super Bowl 85, yes.
Right.
90s, got a lot of division championships.
Six NBA
championships.
The last Bears road playoff win with mm-hmm. Wani as the head coach.
Yeah.
Waddle played.
Mm-hmm. I would say the 70s, yes. It's a long drought. You remember that well. I mean, JR, you were in your 30s at that time. What do you remember most about the 70s? And
America's team, the Dallas Cowboys cheerleaders, you know, Cowboys Steelers rivalry. Yeah, I mean, great 70s action. Billy Beer.
But nothing in Chicago, though.
Nothing in Chicago. No. Bob Avellini? No, I got nothing for you, really.
Jake Cantu, did you forget the Sky Championship last year? Go ahead.
They just lost pretty badly in the playoffs.
And how about the Red Stars are 7 straight years in the playoffs now? Let's just be honest here. They clinched the playoff spot again on Sunday.
You know why? Because the commish. Sarah Spain. That's why.
There you go.
The commish gets it done.
And Vicky Lynch, the president of the team. Come on.
Jake, we are sorry that we disturbed you for Shot or No Shot. We'll go back to our show now.
By the way, quick sidebar, may I approach?
Brought to Aiken Law.
$3.126 million for the great Howard Ankin.
Sign my ball.
If Waddle lives in Lake Forest,
yeah,
why did his kid Jalen not go to high school there and then go to Alabama? He could have gone to Northwestern and then been a Bear.
Still to come on the show, we will hear from Albert Breer, who covers the NFL for SI.com. We will hear from, does his wife know? we will hear from Albert Breer coming up at 8:35.
My son Jalen.
Okay. All right. A little Doka action there. Be careful.
Oh, my God.
So Albert Breer at 8:35.
I didn't say that car.
We'll go around the NFL coming up next. Captain Jay Hood, morning 7 to 10. Look who's coming to dinner.
You don't have to wait till you're in your car to hear what Cap and Jay Hood are talking about. Just tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
Nick Foles sucks. He sucks.
I'm just a fan. I'm not a football evaluator.
I love the Green Bay Packers.
The guy is drunk, but there he goes.
This is not Detroit, man. This is the Super Bowl.
I want winners.
He starts to come and he pulls out.
This is a really thickly built guy.
I mean, what's the answer you're looking for on these things here?
It's the gift that keeps on giving, the National Football League. We're talking about the Bears and the NFL with you. On Cap and Jay Hood here on ESPN 1000 and streaming on the ESPN Chicago app. We're going to hear from Albert Breer, get his thoughts about the Bears and the NFL coming up at 8:35, his usual spot, Tuesdays at 8:35 with Cap and Jay Hood. All right, Cap, a couple of news and notes besides the Bears. We'll get to Dan Orlovsky. He has some interesting things to say about Justin Fields and the offense. About a couple of these games here around the NFL. First and foremost, the next opponent for the Bears will be the Vikings. The Vikings go to London. They defeat the Saints 28-25. Kirk Cousins, 25-38, good for 273 yards and a touchdown. Many believe over the years that the Vikings, they're ready. They have a good enough defense. They have offensive weapons. But there's always that one isolated game where you see Kirk Cousins turn the ball over. Even though he is the epitome of 500 and can keep you in the ball games, he's not a next-level quarterback. We'll see what happens against the Bears coming up on Sunday.
I just question the Bears' ability to defend against what I think is as good a three-headed monster as there is in the NFL. That would be Dalvin Cook, Justin Jefferson, and Adam Thielen. That's a really tough trio to have to handle. Now, again, they're coming off a trip to London.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to be tired. There's some jet lag issues in there, all of it. Usually you get a bye after it. They didn't get that, so we'll see.
my friend, is giving a tell for the game. Have you already put your Bears bet in?
No.
I think you have.
I am not betting the Bears. I can promise you that.
Cap.
You like that? You like that?
As much as I don't like that dude,
yeah.
Probably going pretty strong Vikings.
I just think they're
like 30 to 13, something like
no
that.
No kidding.
Yeah.
I just know you gave an early tell of what could happen if the Bears kept it close. You could say it's because of the trip to London. But you think that that won't matter against the Bears, right?
It's early enough in the season. Vikings aren't real banged up. I think the Vikings win that football game.
How about your Detroit Lions? You're a big Campbell fan, a man Campbell fan?
Yep. I love Dan Campbell.
Man Campbell.
Yep.
There he is. And the Seahawks win 48-45. I kept seeing the ball go left and right, touchdowns left and right on screen number 3 as I was watching the red zone while I was watching the Bears. Cap, the problem with the Lions is they can't stop anybody. I mean, look how many points that they surrendered. 14 in the first, 14 in the third. Close game. They lost by 3, but now they're 1-3 going into this week.
Yeah, that's a game you have to win. You got to beat Seattle at home. They did not get the job done. They lost week 1, 38-35 mm-hmm. to the Eagles. No shame in losing to the Eagles.
Yeah.
And they had one other. Oh, they gave away the Viking game. That was on Dan Campbell. He was too bold going for it. Then he tried a long field goal, gave them a shorter field, and they got a touchdown to KJ Osborne from Cousins to win it. That Detroit team is a better football team than the Bears. That's just a fact. They got more talent. They got 3 first-round picks on their offensive line, for crying out loud.
Now they have to find a way to win games, those close games.
Correct.
I mean, it's one thing to put up a lot of points. I think we're seeing the best of Jared Goff in a lot of these games now.
He had 4 touchdown passes the other day.
Man, Goff is getting the job done.
Wrong Goff.
I'm sorry.
That's Jason.
Oh, beg your pardon. But, you know, the offense is there, but now they got to be able to make stops. So, shot or no shot, you and I are on the same page when it comes to the Super Bowl champion. We both believe it's Buffalo's time.
Correct. Now, they're banged up. That's the one problem. Buffalo is a banged-up football team.
Yes.
But they have the best player potentially in the sport. He's right there with, there's a handful of them. Mahomes, Josh Allen mm-hmm. is amazing. They're going to be active at the trade deadline to go get themselves a defensive replacement for some of the injuries they've got.
And they win against Baltimore 23-20 in grandiose fashion because the Bills were behind in the game, and somehow, some way, Baltimore relinquishes the lead. Like, what's going on there? The other storyline with this is Lamar Jackson, second loss, gives credit to the other team. Tweets out, great game, Buffalo. He did that with Miami. Great game, Miami. What's he doing there? Like he usually doesn't do that, but, you know, if you're a Baltimore fan, you're saying, does Lamar want to leave? Is there a disconnect there?
I don't have a problem that he did that. It was a hell of a football game. Both those games were.
Mm-hmm.
Hell of a football game. That's a really good Buffalo team, man. And when they had to, they got to stop. And then I thought John Harbaugh made a big-time coaching error.
Mm.
He got a chance to kick a field goal late in the game, and he went for it on 4th-and-2, and Lamar got flushed, rolled out, and then got picked off by Jordan Poyer. Bad decision. Take the lead and then rely on your defense. If you lose, you lose.
How many tweets do you get like I get regarding the Philadelphia Eagles? Because the shot or no shot is what's a better team, Buffalo or the Eagles?
Buffalo.
But the Eagles are 4-0 under Nick Sirianni.
Yeah, they're good.
How many tweets do you get where people look at Jalen Hurts and they say, how come Justin can't do that? Talent?
Yeah, I got somebody yesterday wrote me, why can't we do what Shanahan's doing with the 49ers? And I said, oh, because we don't have Deebo Samuel, we don't have Brandon Ayuk, we don't have their running game, their offensive line, Nick Bosa, all of it. We don't have that team. It's not that easy, man. If people know you cannot get any separation with your receivers, you can run all the RPO garbage you want. You're not going to have any open receivers. We're going to come crush your guy.
Mm-hmm.
Our offensive line stinks, and now the best guy on it, Cody Whitehair, he's out for a while.
Yes, he is.
Bad team.
Are you impressed by the Eagles' resume so far? At the Lions, win. Vikings, win. At the Commanders, win. And then the Jags, 29-21.
Yeah, Yeah, I mean, they've played good football. I can't take anything away from them. They were down 14 points to Jacksonville before they blinked and came back and won. That all said, let's see how they do if they have to go on the road and play the Chiefs or go play a really, really talented, good team. Let's see it.
You know, I have some advice for Mike McDaniel, the head coach for the Dolphins, or any general manager or any head coach. When you have an injured player, this player is out indefinitely. So that way you're not asked the question every day. Marcel Luis Jacques, who writes for the Miami Dolphins on ESPN.com, writes about the Dolphins. Dolphins quarterback Tua Tagovailoa has been ruled out for Sunday's game against the Jets. Well, no blank, he's ruled out.
Correct.
He should be out indefinitely. That's what they should say. We don't know he's going to return. But when you say, well, he's going to be ruled out for this game, no. He's out indefinitely. That way you don't have to answer the question. Same thing with the Cowboys and Dak, right? Jerry Jones sidled up to a microphone. Dak is going to be back in a couple of weeks. Well, hang on a second. You're not a doctor. You might have gotten some information, but so you're not asked all the time. He's out indefinitely.
You'd still be asked.
You can't. Well,
Tua's out indefinitely, and then after the game Sunday, what's Tua's status this
week?
He's
out indefinitely. Next, talk to the trainer. Next.
Right, Coach Ditka.
Don't answer. So I don't have to answer the question all the time. Just so you know, guys, he's out indefinitely. Next.
What's the latest on Tua?
He's out indefinitely. Next.
Coach, has he been seen yet?
Talk
is he still in the protocol?
Talk to the trainer. Next. Good, gang. Good. You'd be pissed if you're 2-7-2. Next. Billy Joe is going to be the quarterback. Next.
Coach Ditka with the Saints. That was awesome.
And we got to talk to our guy Albert Breer coming up next. But Dan Orlovsky, who we haven't had on the show this year.
I just texted him. I think we're going to get him.
I like Dan's work. That's just, you know, being a talking head on these shows. But his college football work is very good, too.
Very good.
So he can help us out about the next generation of quarterbacks here. But he was on Get Up, and he talked about Justin Fields this season. Listen.
I told Bears fans this all summer long. Don't talk to me about Justin Fields' development. You've got a fifth-round pick starting at left tackle. He might become a really good player, but that is not ideal. Yep. He has literally one of the worst pass-blocking offensive lines in the last decade of the NFL.
Yeah.
I said this. Your number one receiver is really a number three. Darnell Mooney's a good player. He's going to continue to be. He's not a number one.
Yeah.
So his number two receiver is really like a five. His starting tight end, Cole Kmet, what?
Looks like a tackle.
I mean, right now he looks like a tackle.
That was what you got. What?
Like, so to talk to me about can we evaluate Justin Fields is one of the dumbest questions in football. And Bears fans wanted to tell us, how dumb we were. No, we're not. Your offense isn't good enough to evaluate a young quarterback. Justin Fields, this is the one thing you have to do. Hang the heck in there. Just hang in there and don't allow what's happening in Chicago to ruin what your career can potentially be in the future. That's the only thing.
I'll leave it there for the moment. There's not a word you just said that I disagree with.
Thank you, Greeny. Okay, this is why we're all on Orlovsky on the show. I definitely don't want him to coach the team. Your advice is hang in there. Okay. Hang in there. That was his advice.
Look.
And he killed.
But he's right. Justin has no chance. Hey, Justin, how's things going for you in the NFL? Well, I got a crappy offensive line and my best offensive lineman, the highest graded guy we got. He just hurt his knee. He's out. How about your tight end? You got Kittle or is Gronk back? No. I got a guy who's a really good inline blocker, not very good as a pass catcher. Doesn't have any breakaway speed. Huh. That's not good. How are your wide receivers? Mooney's okay. He's a three. But the other guys? They can't get any separation. How's your defense? We're worst in the NFL against the run. Well, then why would anyone throw against you? They would run it down your throat. That's what they're doing. Do you get sacked? Yeah. Six times on Sunday and hit nine more out of 22 pass attempts. But it's my fault. They ate you out of here.
Here's something else, Cap.
I'm just telling you, there's these freaking morons out there going, Justin sucks. What's he doing? Justin's getting the ever-living, I almost said it, beaten out of him every week.
well, I froze this picture, and he should have seen Mooney because the guy's hips were turned.
All right.
Stop talking idiocy, because they had already told him on that play, Adam Hogue tweeted it, tuck the ball and run. Come on, man. He's waiting. He's got PTSD. Poor kid's getting it.
Almost did it again. Beaten out of him.
Crap?
Yes.
Okay. Albert Breer on the NFL.
Hits principle, my ass. Go ahead.
Next.
Cap. J-Hood.
This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Watch the show on Twitch. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago.
Hello.
Football on ESPN 1000.
Hello, Bert.
Albert Breer.
Hey, Bert.
Senior NFL writer for SI.com joins Cap and Jay Hood.
Bert's it.
What? You're it, Bert.
On ESPN 1000.
What do you mean I'm it?
We see, that's the game. I just tagged you, and you're it until you tag somebody else.
Albert Breer.
No, I'm not playing a game. I'm reading, Ernie, and I'm not it.
Okay.
On Chicago's home for sports.
But Bert is it.
From Monday Morning Quarterback at SI.com, it's Albert Breer who joins us every Tuesday at 8:35 here on Chicago's Home for Sports, ESPN 1000 on Cap and Jay Hood. Good morning, Albert.
Hey, Hoodie. How you doing?
We're doing fine, thank you. We are looking at a 2-2 ball club. Boy, the league's almost 2-2, isn't it? I mean, the Giants have beat the Bears 20-12. What are your overall thoughts? It's a fine. What are your thoughts on the Bears, by the way? Justin Fields, 22 attempts. That's a high watermark for him.
Yeah, and it's interesting because I think he, in that Giants game, and I'm actually kind of like going through some of it now.
Ugh.
You see like I feel like you see everything in that game where like you see the talent, you see like where he's got the natural accuracy, the athleticism, all that different stuff, and then you also see the other end of it, which is, it feels like he's a sitting duck there, back there sometimes. Like his pocket movement needs to improve. I think one of the things that's been a big criticism of him, which is valid, is he needs to learn how to anticipate better. And a lot of times he like sort of has to see the receiver open before he pulls the trigger. And those are things that some quarterbacks can get past and some can't. So I think with Justin, you saw the good and the bad. And I think with the Bears overall, you're seeing a pretty competitive team that is probably going to need a couple off seasons to get where it needs to go from a roster standpoint. But, I do think Eberflus has got that group competing. And, some of the younger guys flashing. Like, I think Khalil Herbert has been pretty impressive. I mean, I would say better than expected over the first month. We've seen some of the flashes from Mooney. On the defensive side of the ball, obviously they're relying on some younger guys like Briscoe and Gordon. So, I think the most optimistic way to look at it, Eddie, is some flashes. The team's playing hard, but a ways to go.
All right, so Albert, it's great to talk with you. The things that bother me about the Bears, they get no separation from their receivers. The worst in the league. Their offensive line, the best guy they have is Cody Whitehair, and now he's going to be on injured reserve, it looks like, with a knee injury. They have very little depth in their roster, and yet there are people in this town. Justin's not the guy. Well, some guy just tweeted at me. Justin should get, they should get a new quarterback. He's an XFL level guy.
Oof.
This guy has zero chance. He drops back. People will screenshot one receiver who happened to have a little separate. How could he miss that guy? Because he's worried about getting the ever-living you-know-what beaten out of him every play. Do they run the risk, in your informed opinion, on this kid having PTSD and developing bad habits?
Of course. Yeah, and that's something I think you always have to kind of keep an eye on. Look at the really, really great young quarterbacks in the league, and there are a lot of them, right? If you look at their situations, the stability around them is outstanding in almost every case. Josh Allen in Buffalo, same coach, same general manager all the way through. And his offensive coordinator, until now, had been the same in Brian Daboll, right? Like, so complete stability there. And the new offensive coordinator is promoted up through the ranks. In Kansas City, Patrick Mahomes had a great offensive line in front of him, was throwing to Tyreek Hill, has Andy Reid, right? Lamar Jackson, he's playing for John Harbaugh. he had Ronnie Stanley and Orlando Brown as his tackles for his first few years in the league. It's like every single one of them. I mean, the one that I think is maybe closest to having less stability might be Justin Herbert. And even with him, you know, yeah, he went through a coach firing and a system change and all of that, but he's still throwing to Keenan Allen and Mike Williams. You know what I mean?
Right.
So, I'll say this in Justin's defense. And look, a lot of this is on him, and I don't know whether he's going to make it or not. We'll see. But there's almost no good example out there of a young quarterback overcoming his circumstances like early in his career and becoming a great player. It almost never happens. The one example, I think, if we look back at it, might be Andrew Luck, he overcame a lot. Playoff first year, divisional round second year, championship game third year, but then it wound up catching up with him, you know? So as important as the position is, and I agree with everybody who says it's the most important position in sports, I think it is. The position is also very, very dependent on all the people around him, you know? And even with Daniel Jones, like I think, you know, in that game before he got hurt against the Bears, you saw some things where it looked like he's playing well, and it's because Daboll's gaming it up a certain way for him, you know? I just think this is a critical point for Justin Fields, and they need to do what they need to do to get answers on him, for sure. But they also got to make sure they don't ruin the kid in the process.
I saw Albert and Cap. I was going through some of my old tapes. I found the NFL's greatest hits in a VHS, like in a bin someplace.
Wow.
I pulled it out. I'm like, oh, my God, NFL's great.
Have you ever gone back? Like, somebody tweeted out. This is really interesting. Somebody tweeted out the Open from the old NFL Today. I think it was from before I was born, in the 70s or something.
Yeah.
And you watch it. It's like the montage, you know, like going into like the NFL Today, the pregame show, I think it was CBS or whatever.
Right.
I'll tweet it out after I get off the air here. Every single hit would be illegal. It's like clothesline. Like, yeah.
Different game, man.
Like, every single hit would be illegal. Like, every one of them.
We glorified that because we love the hard hits.
Yes.
And now it's a different day. And so the reason why I tell you that story that I found that old VHS tape, Albert, is because I want to ask you about how the league looks at concussion protocol. I thought we had this thing solved. And now we see from McDaniel, Tagovailoa is ruled out for week 5. Well, no blank, he's ruled out. Should be ruled out for the season if he's not healthy. What is the NFL doing to try to shore this up again?
Well, you know what's interesting, guys, is they actually have a summit happening today in London with all the Premier League teams, right? And they're going to talk about everything. Like, it's a health and safety summit. They're going to talk about everything from concussions, which are a problem in soccer, believe it or not, to orthopedic injuries, to playing surfaces, the full gamut of it. I also, my understanding also is that the NFL health and safety people had a conference call on Sunday after the games with the unaffiliated neurotrauma consultants, the UNCs, that are the independent doctors that evaluate players for concussions during games. This is not an artificial flashpoint. This is not a media creation, right? Like, this is not all of us, like, making noise that isn't, you know, being heard in the NFL. The NFL is hearing all of this and doing something about it. And, you know, I think what you're going to see is some pretty significant change to the concussion protocol. And one thing I can tell you for sure that's going to happen now is they're going to take a line out of the concussion protocol, where, you know, like it says, if there's gross motor instability as a result of a neurological event, and determining whether or not it was a result of a neurological event is up to the doctors there, which that's how Tua went back on the field. Tua got back on the field because the team doctor decided it was his back and not his head. That line is being taken out of there. So if there's any gross motor instability at all, then, like, the player is going to be out regardless of the root of it. If there is evidence that there was a potential head injury suffered. So that's just one piece of the protocol that's going to change. I think there's more coming. Look, there's still holes in this thing. You know what I mean? Like, and I know they've done a lot. And I think the league genuinely does want to take this stuff out of the game. And it's not just for the care of the players. Obviously, there's a ton of liability here for the NFL, and it doesn't look good from a PR perspective either. So I think the NFL genuinely wants to try to nip in the bud what they can nip in the bud. It'll be interesting to see where it goes and how far it goes with the changes to the protocol. But I would say that, you know, what happened last week is very much something that's been taken into account and is being dealt with on the league level.
We're just about out of time, but is there anything in your phone that you could share with us that you haven't shared with anyone else?
Yeah, you know, here's what's one thing that's sort of interesting, and I guess because you guys have a first-year coach and first-year GM, you guys aren't in the market for that sort of information the way you were the last couple of years.
But we want to know.
Yeah, so I would just say, look, I think it's going to be interesting to see the way the college hiring cycle may hasten some things on the NFL level. You know, if you look, you see that, you know, USC and LSU last year, when they poached Brian Kelly and Lincoln Riley, they did it right at the end of November. Then Oklahoma and Notre Dame replaced those guys at the beginning of December. And so, you know, to me, like, what's fascinating about this, and it could affect the situation in Carolina with Matt Rhule, is if you've got a NFL coach who could be fired, whose job could be in jeopardy, and that guy is attractive to colleges, like, how awkward is that going to be in November and December? So that's one thing a lot of NFL people have their radar up for now, is as you see the Arizona States and the Nebraskas and the Colorados, all those schools fire their coaches, and Wisconsin, obviously, up near where you guys are at. Mm-hmm. Those schools could be looking at NFL coaches, and because of the timing of it, are they going to be able to hire NFL coaches? It potentially could make some things pretty awkward, I think, on the job market come the end of November, beginning of December.
That's right. Albert Breer, first report, Urban Meyer to Wisconsin. All right.
Hey, you know what? Ohio State took a lot of shots for hiring Urban Meyer and investing in Urban Meyer. It's kind of funny when all these other schools have openings. Now all of a sudden it's okay to hire him, right?
Yeah.
It's okay when he's out there for you, right?
That's that Fox whitewash. You get on TV, all of a sudden you're a new
Holding
guy.
Water. Hey, yeah. Have a great day, Albert.
All right, thanks, guys.
It's Albert Breer with us here on Cap and J-Hood. Coming up, a hilarious animal story. That's straight ahead on Cap and J-Hood. Yeah!
Don't miss the conversation.
Cap and J-Hood.
Tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
Cap and Hoodie.
Bop, 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 bop. And listen to Cap and J-Hood at home and in the office.
Now, back to more Cap and J-Hood on Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
I'm just telling
Lions, tigers, and bears, oh my. Bears. What's going on today in the animal kingdom? Chimps throwing feces? Wild boars snacking on faces?
Terry boars.
Cougar on the loose?
Yes, sir.
Perhaps some horny mammals humping?
Terry boars.
Let's find out together. Animal stories on Cap and J-Hood on ESPN 1000.
Uncle Cappy, it's time for animal stories.
Thank you, little Johnny.
We go to Cousin JR with the latest on animal stories here on WMVP. Go ahead.
Gentlemen, in Jarupa Valley, California yesterday, video released by Riverside County Animal Services show a male coyote, believed to be about 9 months old, hiding in a stall of a school bathroom. This occurred just around 9 a.m. at Mission Middle School in Jarupa Valley. They said this was before students were in the school, and of course they nicknamed him Wile E. Coyote. Is there another name for a coyote? I don't think so.
No, it's just Wile E., but I just like the idea of the coyote saying, you know what? There's nobody here. I got to take a dump. Ah! He's got the Tribune open.
The big brunch.
The big brunch. Oh, God! Oh, my God, those fruits and berries. You know, I'm getting better with soda. And the coyote's there, and he's feeling...
Boy, my stomach's gone now.
Yeah, I feel good. Oh, man. Hey, man, did you see the obituaries? One of my coyote friends died. I'm just telling you. He's talking to himself. Is this him in the stall? But he's got the big broadsheet out, reading the paper.
Oh, boy. I feel 5 pounds lighter.
Don't come any closer. I'll drop an anvil on your head.
My God. That deuce is brought to you by Acme. All right, what else do you have?
And then Cav had this one that was very, very interesting. Man tries to kiss cobra, gets bitten in face, now battling for his life.
So he tried to kiss the cobra, JR?
I guess this was happening on the streets.
I got video of this.
Yeah, I mean, it's you can see him. He's leaning in to kiss the cobra, and the cobra just snaps at him and bites him in the face.
He's a snake charmer.
I bet.
Yeah. And the cobra is right in front of him, and he very slowly, like, he thinks the cobra is his friend.
He's leaning in for it.
He leans in to kiss him on the top of the head. Bam!
There used to be
he might not make it.
There used to be music for the snake charmer, but I don't want to get canceled. I know what you know what music I'm talking about.
Yes, I do. Yes, it was in every cartoon that you ever watched in the 70s. While the venom is not the most potent among all snake species, that amount administered could kill 20 people. What are you doing?
Oh, my
Holding
God.
A snake that can kill 20 people with one bite?
I don't get it.
What are you trying to prove? Huh? What
Just
are you
a snake
prove?
In general.
Why?
Imagine he gets up to the pearly gates. Someone goes, oh, how'd you die? How about you? Whatever. I had this disease. What about you? Tried to kiss a cobra. Jackass bit me. I got enough venom for 20.
The Lord will put you on the third level.
Yes.
You can't get to the top level.
They've Take got that a, elevator down.
They've got a quote here from Romulus Whitaker, who is a herpetologist at the Madras Crocodile Bank. Can we just talk about that unfortunate name?
The herpetologist.
He's a herpetologist.
So he has herpes.
Or he's an expert in snakes.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, there's an interesting I mean, you look, Cap, it's the 22nd floor. That's where your doctor is. It's 22nd floor. Dermatology, let's see, physical... herpetology. Go in that door. Let's see what's going on in there.
It's snakes everywhere.
Please wash your hands.
Oh, my God. Awesome. Those are animal stories right here on Chicago's Home for Sports. Coming out with Tony La Russa out, who do you want to see as the next White Sox manager? What do you think is going on over there at 35th and Vec? How much more change will you see with the White Sox? We'll talk about it next in 2 minutes on Cap and J-Hood. I said Cap and J-Hood.